What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the podcast. Today I have a special guest, my boyfriend James Pratt.
What up, what up? This is James.
Just said that. So on the podcast today, I figured I'd bring him on and we could talk about just a lot of different things and also about some chronic illness things that I had asked everyone on Instagram about. And just overall, really cool topics that we'll go over. So I will let him have the floor and introduce himself and tell us a little bit about yourself, James.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, baby. I am James Pratt. Met Mackenzie through a dating app with Hinge. It was, I like to call it that I slid in her DMs. But it's not exactly how it went down, but, you know, I met her through the app, and from there, we went on a couple of dates, and, you know, and times passed, and she's still with me, so.
He likes to think that I ditched him on Valentine's Day.
Yes, she did ditch me on Valentine's Day. I keep saying this over and over.
I think it's because that was, like, our very first date, and I just, for some reason, thought it was so strange to go out on a first date on Valentine's Day, but I don't really remember ditching you. I don't know what happened, but...
Ladies, if a man asks you on a date on Valentine's Day, please accept.
But, yeah, we've been going really strong ever since then. Actually, here in February, we've been talking for about a year. Our official date isn't until May 14th, but the time that we've been talking was in February. So it's crazy that it's almost been a year. It doesn't even feel like it, honestly.
Almost a year?
I know. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Think about it.
I mean, that's a whole year that you put up with my ass.
She's still with me, guys. She's still with me.
So, James, tell us, where do you work at and what do you do for a living?
So I currently work for a real estate property management firm in the South Park area of Charlotte. I'm loving it. I love real estate. It's a way to definitely further my career on the side, too, as far as wealth, generational wealth, which I want to do for a long-term thing for me, but... I love it.
Yeah, he's actually trying to get also into the insurance world. We're trying to pull him to the dark side. Because I know you guys have, you know, heard me on the other podcast talk about how I used to be a nanny and now I'm currently working at an insurance agency in South Park as well. So we're actually trying to pull him over and that will basically have the whole family working in insurance, except for my poor mother who works at home. So
she's better than all of us.
Yeah, right. So I kind of just want to go over a little bit about what we're going to go over in the podcast today. Like I said, mostly it's going to be geared towards a lot of talking about chronic illness and how it is dating somebody with a chronic illness. I had a lot of you guys reach out to me. Some of you also have suffered with an illness and you're in a relationship and it just sometimes can be so difficult. And also, too, if you're just suffering with something and you're single, it's even harder to date, I feel like. So I hope that today, while we're talking, that we can help you, some of you guys out and be able to give you guys some good advice.
I'll do my best in giving you honest feedback.
So I don't know if a lot of you guys don't know what chronic illness even means or what it really is, but... I figured that I would at least talk about what actually is considered a chronic illness because before I really was diagnosed with what I have, I didn't really know what that meant. So basically, it's a disease that persists for a long time and it can be lasting for anywhere from 3 months or more. And basically, it can't be cured by medication and it just doesn't disappear or you can't really prevent it with any vaccinations. So that's why like my IBS... and endometriosis and the clubbing that I have, none of those things can be really fixed with medication. They can be, you know, subsided with the pain by medication, but it can't really cure them. So you're kind of just stuck with, you know, this horrible pain for the rest of your life. So that can be, you know, really hard to hear at first when you're told that by a doctor that you are suffering with a chronic illness. James has really seen me with my illnesses since the very beginning. I was pretty upfront with him about it in the very beginning, and also with my eating disorder as well. I didn't want to hide anything, and I figured, well, if I tell him now early on, then he has no choice but to run away, I guess, if he doesn't want to stay with me. So,
and I'd appreciate, you know, all the honesty that she was, you know, with me, just discussing it about the chronic illness and everything that's going on with her body, upfront. I appreciate all of it, because it kind of gave me a different perspective of, you know, not everything's perfect in everybody's life, right? So, you know, I'm not perfect. Mackenzie sure isn't perfect. But she's definitely perfect for me, and you know, that's why, you know, I'm still here. And I'm glad she's still with me.
Yeah, of course. And you know, it's hard to find somebody like that. I mean, I know that I've talked about in one of my podcasts about going through really bad relationships, and I have been through the ringer with men in my past, and it feels so good to finally find someone who is understanding and also can kind of go with the flow. Because when you have a chronic illness or just any type of illness that you are in a lot of pain with every day is kind of different, and you never know when you're going to feel that pain anymore. So you have to kind of just be with someone who is going to be understanding and go with the flow as well.
And I sure didn't really know exactly what, you know, everything that she talked to me about, you know, as far as like the eating disorder and, you know, this chronic illness now with endometriosis. I still can't even say the word.
a lot of us just call it endo because it is so long, but it's endometriosis.
Yeah,
that's why I just call it endo, because it's so long.
I'm gonna stick to just saying endo.
Yeah, but you can just call it that.
It's okay not to know, you know, everything that's going on, but the one thing that I'm still learning from it is just trying to be there for her. And that's the best thing I can do. You know, during this time, as far as the chronic illness, and just when I first even heard that word, I had no idea about that.
I mean, when I just had my surgery a couple weeks ago, I don't even think that you really knew what endometriosis was.
No.
I remember my parents telling me that they had to explain it to you because you had never even heard of it. And I think that happens with a lot of men, just because obviously a lot of girls know what it is because we're the ones that can have it. A man can obviously not have endo. So as women, we hear about it and we almost kind of see it as like, oh my gosh, you definitely don't want that. Like, I remember hearing about it when I first started going to the OBGYN, and I was like, oh my gosh, I never want to have that. Like, I just hear it's terrible. And it's kind of like almost a scary thing to hear. So now that I'm actually having it, it's, you know, it just comes full circle, really. But
I think a lot of men will probably just hear that word and just like try to run away because they think it's a life or death situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, what did you feel when I did tell you about not only having endometriosis, but also having this, you know, clubbing on my fallopian tubes, which basically blocks any eggs allowed in, so I naturally might not be able to have a baby? Like, how did that make you feel, like, the very first thought that pops in your head?
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I grew up around a big family. You know, I have, you know, one sister to stepsisters to, you know, a lot of brothers and a lot of cousins. So a big family is just, I'm just used to having a big family. Mm-hmm. So my always thought was that I want to have, you know, that huge family as well when I grow up. Right. So, when I grow up, like it's,
but when I grow up,
I wanted to have that big family. So when I heard these, you know, that word endo, and then, you know, your family was explaining it to me and, you know, what it was. And I still was just shocked by it all.
Yeah.
It's all still kind of new because I still trying to process it daily. But the way I see it is, and the thing I always tell you all the time is, what I tell you all the time, it's
just a roadblock.
Yeah.
That's what you like to call it.
It's just a bump in the road.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, I always stay positive and just trying to encourage that this isn't the solution.
Yeah.
This isn't the final solution. Like, God always has a plan. I always believe in that, and I'm still going to believe in that. And, of course, you know, when I think of having a family, I think of, you know, kids, of course, right?
Yeah.
One or two kids, maybe three.
Maybe.
But, you know, even if that isn't the plan now, I want to make sure that there's always going to be a different solution. There's always going to be some way we can have a kid, or maybe we just, you know, in our future is having a bunch of dogs, you know?
So exactly. I mean, yeah, we don't even know if it's having children. And that's something that, you know, when it comes time to that, when we're ready to settle down and have babies and stuff like that, that if that is what God wants us to do, because, you know, maybe he just doesn't see that in our future. And I think at a certain point, like, we'll both be okay with that. It's just hard, you know, especially as a woman, because your whole life you dream about being a mother, and the last thing that you want to do is not be able to give your husband a baby. And so that puts a lot of pressure on women to feel like they need to have kids sometimes. And I've never really felt that way. I mean, yes, I would feel so bad if I wasn't able to do that, but I also want to have my own children, and I'm also huge on adoption and foster and all that. So, you know, if that's just not in our wheelhouse for God's plan for our lives, then that's okay. We'll just have a bunch of, you know, golden doodles running around. We'll literally have a farm of golden doodles.
I will not be mad about that.
And our bank accounts probably won't be that mad about it either.
Absolutely. So, and you know, just when I think about, you know, the kids part of things, I always going back to, you know, whatever God's plan is, I'm going to stick to that, because I can, you know, I trust in him in all that he gives and provides for us, right? So, but when I think about going back to high school, you always think about, before you graduate high school, what's your plans, right? Like, you think about, you're going to have a big house, you're going to have, you know, 100K in your bank account, and, you know, this nice job, and then you're going to have these two married with these kids. I said I was going to have that by 26. I'm 29 now, so.
You're a little off.
So the plan isn't always going to be perfect.
No.
And I'm just going to stay positive, you know, as the day goes by.
No, and I think it is funny how, you know, God must be sitting up there, and he just laughs at us as we try to plan out our own lives, because I remember the same thing. Like, I remember being in high school and thinking, like, when I'm 23, I'm going to be a wife, and I'm going to have kids, and I'm going to have a house. Like, what the heck? I must have thought that 23 was so old, and now I'm 26, and I've kind of done things backwards. Like, I have a house, but I'm not married, and I, you know, don't have any children yet. So it's just funny how we think our lives are going to go, and, you know, they never seem to really go that way. But that's okay. That makes life more fun and exciting, and it's not our plan to begin with anyways.
So. And I had no plans, or, you know, I did not expect to, you know, find the person that I love through a dating app. Like Hinge,
no,
right? So no. Things just happen for a reason.
No, I definitely always thought, like, I would just meet someone randomly. I don't know why I thought that. I was just going to be like the movies, and I was just going to bump into somebody like, oh, hi, I meet you at the grocery store or something like that, you know, like while we're
watching Lion King.
Apples. So, you know, it's just like funny how things do work out. But I did want to kind of go over some like little tips that I have personally that I've kind of come up with, through all this, especially the last, you know, year that we've been talking and being together, and things that I've just accumulated over the last couple of months with everything that I've had to go through and we've had to go through as a couple. And so these are just, you know, some little tips. Obviously, everyone is different and everyone deals with everything differently. But I just feel like the first thing when you are with someone that has a chronic illness, for both of you, is communication and honesty. To me, communication is key. And I know that is so cheesy to say, because you just hear that all the time. But when you're sick and you have an illness that causes you to be in pain a lot of the times, like for me, it's kind of like a constant pain every day. And I deal with a lot of fatigue and just exhaustion basically every single day. And if I don't communicate that with James when I don't feel good or I'm tired and we have something planned, and if I don't tell him that, you kind of build this resentment towards that person and you feel angry with them because they're not seeing you in pain or they're not like understanding, but really it's not their fault. It's just because you haven't communicated with them. And, you know, obviously James is amazing, but he's not a mind reader by any means.
I don't think that, you know, that part of it doesn't really come up, you know, with us.
Yeah.
As far as, because you always been so honest and about the pain that you have with your body, and mm-hmm. you know, if you're not feeling well, you know, this is, you know, what we're going to do today. And, you know, we always try to make the best of every day.
Yeah. Because I feel like a lot of times, like at work and stuff like that, I obviously have to kind of have the suck it up attitude because I'm at work and I need to work a job. And so I don't want to be like complaining all the time to everybody. And, you know, a lot of people at my job don't know about everything that I'm going through. So I kind of keep it on the down low. But being with someone like James, I feel like I can tell him everything and he's not going to be like annoyed or mad. And I'm sure sometimes it is a little frustrating just because if you had some plans that you wanted to go out and do something. But most of the time, I usually go out. I mean, there's not really been times where we usually say, like, no, because sometimes going out and fixing my mind on something else kind of helps with the pain. We've never really had to cancel plans before, I don't think.
We never had to cancel plans because of, if you have pain or anything of some sort, but... you always make the best of it every time you go out, still dance and have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, one or two drinks. So.
Yeah. I mean, drinking definitely helps sometimes. It makes you feel like crap the next day, but it definitely helps.
Makes me feel like crap still.
Yeah. I bet you're feeling the effects of that from last night, huh?
Too many beers.
Shade thrown. So yeah, to me, that is just the biggest thing because I was reading this article, and I never really thought of it like this, but it said that for both people in a relationship, in a romantic relationship, when a doctor diagnoses you with a chronic illness, and I know that when I was, you know, diagnosed with endo and, you know, IBS and also my clubbing, that you feel kind of a sense of grief almost, kind of like someone has passed. Because you kind of know that the old you is going to be gone now. And I know that might sound weird, but it kind of makes sense to me just because whenever I found out about that, I knew, okay, I will never feel better, basically. Like, I will never feel like the old me before I was sick. And I know James hates when I say that. He hates when I say that I'm sick. But it's just, like, hard to explain because unless you're in that pain every day, like, you just don't feel like yourself sometimes, and it is so frustrating. But both people kind of have to go through this grief period. So if you are with someone who has an illness that is, you know, doesn't have a cure and medication doesn't really help, just be patient with that person. Let them feel the feelings that they're going to feel during that time, because there are so many emotions that are running through your head when you find out about that you just have to learn to be extremely patient and understanding and just being there for them. That is, to me, like, the biggest thing.
Yeah, I'm always just gonna be, you know, positive and be there for you, you know, through everything. So even if you have pain in your stomach, to mm-hmm. You know, if you had a headache one day, you know, the worst thing is that trying to find that balance between, you know, how can I help her, you know, as far as what she's feeling, you know, in that day. Maybe she has a headache or maybe her stomach's hurting. I'm just such a, like, a caregiving person that I want to make sure mm-hmm. that everything I can do, that I want to do it for you.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, obviously, there's nothing I can do every single day to, you know, help with your issues.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not really on any medication for my stuff because the medication for endo is almost just as bad as having the side effects of endo. So,
yeah.
You know, it causes, like, suicidal thoughts. And I just don't want to be on something like that. So I don't really take anything right now for my illnesses. But I definitely, you know, try to eat really healthy and heal through, you know, food and everything else instead of being on medication. So I know that, you know, seeing it from James' point of view, it probably is hard. Just like if he was going through this, it would be really frustrating because you want to help them and there's nothing that you can do sometimes. Like, sometimes there is nothing that he can do. And it's like, sometimes you don't even want to be, like, touched because everything just hurts. Like, I know I've felt that way. Like, my whole body just aches and, like, you don't even want anyone touching you because it just, and so that's probably just annoying because it's like, I just want to help you, but there's just nothing I can do for you.
Yeah. And going back to, like, the healthy part of, you know, the way how endo is and you're trying to be healthier with the food you eat, mm-hmm. that actually helps me. Like, I've been, you know, I'm living with two roommates right now, and sometimes it can be to the point where we're always eating out and eating pizza here and the wings mm-hmm. here. And, you know, so for me, it's, I'm trying to get back into that healthy eating type thing that you do.
Yeah.
Right. So I like to eat a lot more greens.
Yeah.
You know, when I can. So yeah. It's definitely helped me a lot.
Yeah. And it is funny because, you know, I eat so many like healthy things because there are a lot of foods that are called, you know, quote unquote flare ups for me that will really put me in like overdrive of pain. So I have to, you know, stay away from those foods when I can. But, you know, it's also hard. I want to be able to like live my life and also be 26 years old and eat some stuff that
pizza.
Eat what I want. But I just know I'm going to get the, you know, effects of, you know, being in pain. So it's kind of like, I have to know that if I eat that, I'm going to feel like crap later. But yeah, he's been so great about, you know, going with the flow with the whole eating thing, especially if I cook us dinner and it's like vegetables and lentil pasta.
Just don't give me veggie burgers anymore. I can't do that anymore.
I screwed up. I gave him a plant-based burger and it was just not a good brand. And now I've scarred him. I've literally traumatized him from plant-based
burgers. I will never eat a veggie burger, plant-based burger ever again. That was the worst burger I ever had.
I promise they're really not that bad. I just think that that brand was so awful. I mean, it was bad.
It was mushy.
And it smelled. Oh. It smelled really bad. It was like, was it Harris Teeter? Was that a Harris Teeter brand?
It was a Harris Teeter brand.
Or, yeah, so I can't remember if it was that. Or no, I think it was Walmart.
I just knew it was bad when she was cooking it on the stove. And it gave off this mushy, like
poop, plant.
Poop scent that I had never smelled before. And I knew why was I going
to
eat this.
And it was so funny because he tried to dress it up with like onions and adding like toppings to it. And I thought that maybe it would be better if he just added some things. And yeah, he was like, no. And even I'm like, I've eaten the plainest of things. I've eaten some nasty things probably to other people because I'm just so used to eating so healthy. But even I couldn't get it down because it was just bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, do not buy that. Harris Teeter brand.
I think it was also Walmart. I think Walmart sells the same thing. But I think it's like Beyond the Meat something. I can't remember. Oh, no, it was like an off-brand of Beyond the Meat.
It was an off-brand, I think, yeah.
Yeah, because Beyond the Meat's usually pretty good. But yeah, anyways. So yeah, that was just like, you know, something that I thought was, you know, key to a relationship is communication and honesty. Something else that I've seen a lot too, and I've seen that with like listening to other podcasts and also like seeing through, I follow a bunch of like endo Instagrams and chronic illness stuff that a lot of people talk about. They lose a lot of their friend groups with having a chronic illness. And you know, like, just because friends, I think, sometimes don't understand what you're going through, and it can be frustrating for them, too, if you don't want to go out a lot or if you cancel plans last minute because you've had a flare-up or something like that along those lines. And me and James are, I guess we're just really lucky. We have a really good group of friends, and we don't really deal with that too often. I've had some friends in the past that, you know, haven't really just, like, been there for me through it all, and I just don't really, like, you know, associate myself with them. But right now, like with our friend group that we have, I don't really feel like we, you know, suffer from that. I mean,
we don't. I mean, it goes back to having that communication and being honest with, you know, mm-hmm. even with your friends. So you have to be honest with them. Let them know what's happening with your body, you know, what's going to change.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So like, even if we would go out and have drinks with our friends.
Yeah.
We still have drinks for our friends. Like, nothing really changes.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Will and Caroline. They're like our couple of friends. And
whoop, whoop.
They've been really, really great about the whole thing. You know, we had a heart-to-heart last weekend about it. And they're just, you know, so understanding and sensitive towards the subject. And they're just probably one of our, like, best friends. I mean, definitely some of my best friends. So, you know, shout out to them. Thanks for being the real MVP, guys. But even, like, some of your friends, like, your roommates. Like, your roommates are really cool about everything. I don't know if they know everything, but...
I mean, for me, I don't really... it's not, like, a conversation opener, you know, with a lot of my friends. But, you know, even if they ask, like, I'm going to be straight up and forward with them. But,
yeah. You
know, just sharing the things that we do and, you know, what you're going through. I definitely talk about to some of my closest friends, mm-hmm. the ones back at home. Shout out, Ev. A lot of them, I talked to them about, and, you know, they probably don't even fully understand, you know, what's everything that's happening, right? Cause I'm still processing everything. So, for them, it's just, you know, they're going to be here for us even with, you know, everything that's going on. So,
Yeah, and anybody, any of you guys listening, please, like, if you guys have husbands or boyfriends that are also going through this with their, you know, whether it's you or with somebody else that you know, like, send them James's way, because maybe it will help to have, like, that other perspective. Because that's the thing, it's really hard, I feel like, for your spouse to also, they need, like, that, you know, place to be able to talk to somebody about how they're feeling as well, because that's also important. You don't want to ever shut down your partner's feelings about, you know, everything that you're also going through, because you're kind of going it through it together. And obviously that's also what's going to happen in our marriage. You know, if we get married one day, my illnesses don't just randomly go away as soon as we get married. So
they do not. Yes.
I mean, we have to, obviously we're setting a great foundation. I mean, we've kind of been through the ups and downs already of our relationship, and it hasn't even been a full year yet. So it's kind of crazy, because I feel like it's already made us really strong as a couple already. And I feel like that will help us in the long run when, you know, it is time for us to settle down and get married. So,
yeah, I mean, we already got down. The key part of this is having honest communication and being just truthful with everything that's going on with,
yeah,
you know, your body to my feelings. You know, that's the most important thing, really, yeah, in a relationship, is being honest with each other and communication. So,
yeah. And, you know, being understanding towards each other, like understanding of both sides, because, you know, I need him to be understanding if, you know, we plan to go out and I was just like, you know, babe, I have a migraine. My body hurts. I don't feel like going out. I feel really sick. I've had a really bad day, you know, blah, blah. And I tell him that, and I want him to be understanding, like, okay, I get it. Like, you don't feel good. Is there anything I can do to help you? Maybe we can do something, you know, to relax, and then we'll see if we, you know, we want to go out later. But then also, I have to be understanding on his point of view as well. If I told him every single weekend, like, I can't go out, I'm too sick. I mean, my gosh, we would become hermits, and, you know, that just wouldn't be good for our relationship, just to be closed up inside the house all the time and never go out. And there's been plenty of times when we've gone out where I really don't feel that great. But, you know, it's funny how, like I said earlier, you can distract yourself. So sometimes it does help me not think about it. But even if I am in pain, this relationship is not all about me. And I have to also make James happy as well. And so I think that sometimes you have to just, you know, it's kind of like sacrificing a little bit, because he sacrifices a lot for me all the time.
Yeah, so I don't really see it as you have to make me happy. Like, I see it as, like, together we're one, right?
Yeah.
Like, anytime you want to go out, or, you know, if you want to do something, you know, like, it's always important just to go out and have fun.
Yeah.
If I could give any advice to any other guys that's going through with their girlfriends or wives, definitely still go out and have fun. Like, that's, you have to do those things.
Yeah.
You have to still, you know, enjoy life and go out for a drink or two.
Yeah.
You know, go out and mini golf or whatever you guys like to do. But just go out and still have fun. Because
yeah,
the important thing is, it's all mental. Most of it is mental too. So you have to make sure that you're happy together and doing the simple things as far as having fun with each other, which is always important.
Exactly. And, you know, if you do go out mini golfing, make sure that you make it fun. Was that not that, like, our very first, like, couple of months dating? We went golfing, mini golfing. We, like, every, like, hole that we went to, we said something about ourselves that we didn't know, the other person didn't know, or something like that.
I made up a game. We did mini golf was every time we had to go up and swing for the hole, we had to come up and make up something that we didn't know about each other.
Yeah.
So, for example, as I'm going up and hitting the ball, I would say, I don't like peanut butter. Yeah. Just for example. Or something you just randomly point out that you don't like. That way, and it's a conversational starter to where it's like, you know, I didn't know about you. Oh, you don't like, you know, scary movies?
Yeah.
Like, that's something, like, I wanted to know and interested about knowing about you.
Which I do like scary movies. I just don't like...
Yeah, you better.
Gory movies. I don't like, the Saw movies. But, yeah, I always think that's, like, so fun because it really, like, gets you to know the other person, too. So that's always, like, a great first, like, date idea. And it doesn't even have to be mini golfing. Like, you could do that going, like, bowling or, like... I mean, don't go to the movies. I always hate that as first dates. Like, because you can't talk. I mean, that's okay after, like, a couple of dates. You know, we love going to the movies now. But like the first date, I just think that's a terrible first date idea.
It can't, yeah, again, you can't really talk too much in a movie. No. Unless you're there 30 minutes before the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay, I think, if you do like dinner in a movie, but sometimes I think people just like will literally just go out and go see a movie and that's their date. And I'm like, you can't even talk to the person. Like, that's not a date.
Yeah.
But I think that's people who are like really shy and don't want to talk a lot. But anyway, that's just my opinion. But yeah, you know, we'll just start giving up our dating advice as well for dates. I mean, we've done a lot of fun things together. We like to also travel a lot together. We're actually going away to Asheville this weekend for the holiday, for Martin Luther King Day. And we're so excited. We've been to Asheville a couple of times now, and we love to travel and go away with each other and just, you know, spend that quality time together, because during the week and the weekend and like that, it can be hard to find that quality time. And sometimes, you know, it's just nice to get away and forget about a lot of things, especially after everything the past couple of weeks. It'll be so nice to get away and just spend that time together and have some fun.
Right? Lots of fun. Waiting for us. It's good to just get away from like the, you know, the tall buildings and the city life, and just get away to, you know, the mountains and just have fun and enjoy new things and new breweries and a lot of hiking and walking around and
and the cold. Oh my gosh, it's literally supposed people to be saying, like 40. Oh gosh, that too. there's some weird people in Asheville, but it's supposed to be 40 degrees there next weekend. So that's actually, it's not horrible. It's not as cold as I thought it was going to be, but definitely, it's like 70 degrees out right now. I mean, what is up with Charlotte right now?
And we're in January.
Yeah, like, I have family that's in Iowa, and they say there's like a couple feet of snow already. So it's like, I just laugh, because I'm like, wow, come down here.
Coming from, you know, the north, where, you know, there's always a lot of snow in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I mean, I enjoy the no snow.
Yeah.
I enjoy the 70 degrees weather right now in January. Like, you can't beat that.
No, you can't. You really can't. So I've asked some of you guys out on Instagram, and I had some of you guys ask some questions for James and also me, I guess, too. And we are going to go into those. So
let's do it.
Questions.
We need a drum roll or something for this?
Yeah, a little drum roll. All right, the first question is, what advice would you give for initiating the first conversation about chronic illness? And I think that this person meant like when you're on a date. I think this is like if you first start dating somebody. I'm assuming that's what they meant by that. That's how I'm gonna take it. So
yeah,
James, go ahead, answer that question.
Oh, what advice would you give for initiating the first conversation about chronic illness? Okay. Well, the advice I would give is you have to be straight up and forward with that person about having that conversation, what mm-hmm. it is, what exactly is it, you know, how it's going to affect you and yourself, and plus the one in front of you,
yeah,
which is, could be your boyfriend or your husband or your wife or your girlfriend. You have to have that upfront conversation and just be honest and straightforward about what's happening. And it's always going to be about trust.
Yeah.
If you can't have a conversation about your chronic illness in front of the person that you supposedly love,
yeah,
and want to be with going forward, it's going to be hard to have a serious conversation about anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I feel like if the person is really the one for you, and that's who you're supposed to be with, like, they'll be understanding when you tell them. And if they act like total, you know, jerks, and they're like, ew, no, I don't want to be with you, then you just know right away that's not the person you're supposed to be with anyways. Like, I feel like people will show their true colors right away. I mean,
right away.
Like, they won't hide it, especially if you come out right away. Because in telling them, like, that's why I'm so glad I told James everything. Like, pretty straight up forward. I was pretty forward, like, not the very first date we hung out, but, like, pretty soon after that, I told him. And luckily I did, and he obviously, you know, doesn't care and has stuck around me since then. So, you know, and that's how I can tell he's the one for me, so.
And I think I've had a conversation with some of my friends about, you know, what exactly the chronic illness that you had at the mm-hmm. time. Like, I was still processing everything from that point, right? So yeah. At that point, having a conversation with friends, I didn't know how it was going to affect myself.
Yeah.
Like, how okay, can we eat this? Can we not eat that?
Yeah.
Or can we go out and still get food? Or can we go out to the movies? Or, you know.
Yeah.
If those things want to happen, you know, can I go out with my friends on the weekends?
Yeah.
You know, I thought that's the first thing that comes to mind when people think about all that, all of these things here that's going on. But,
yeah.
You know, being honest is the best thing you can possibly do.
Yeah, well, and it doesn't help, too, that I also was telling him, like, oh, and by the way, like, I'm recovering from an eating disorder. On you, like, sorry. Like, on top of everything else, like, you also have to be kind of careful not to make comments about my weight and how I look. And, you know, he obviously has never said anything negative towards me. He constantly reminds me how beautiful I am and how, you know, perfect I look to him, so... Thank
you're
you.
You're so perfect, baby.
For that. So, yeah. He's the best. I'm pretty lucky.
I try, guys. I try.
So, the second question is, what is the most hardest part and what is the easiest part of having endometriosis? This is obviously a question for me. The easiest part, oh gosh, I don't really know if there's an easy part to it. I guess the easiest part is that I did find out, I guess this isn't really easy, but it's the good part about the endo is that I did find out about what I have pretty early on in my life. Like I said, I'm not trying to have a baby right now. So I'm glad that I found out now and not when I'm 30 years old and we're trying to have a kid and we wasted 2 years of trying to have a baby and we can't, and we now realize that I have these, you know, endo and the clubbing. I mean, so that's probably like the best part about it, I guess. I mean, there's not really an easy part. Nothing about having a chronic illness is really easy. The hardest part is just being in pain. I mean, I don't know many of you and what you guys deal with and stuff like that, but with endometriosis, you have a lot of pain in your pelvic region, and it really gets heightened when you're ovulating and when you're on your period. And I also, you know, suffer with IBS as well, so my stomach constantly hurts as well. So basically, it just, I look like a 7-month pregnant person when I'm having a flare-up because my stomach will stick out so much, and it will just be excruciating sometimes. And so that, you know, plays a huge role in it. I also know that a lot of women suffer with pain during intercourse, and I know that that can also be extremely hard on a relationship as well. So I won't go into too much detail about that because that is private. But that is just like a lot of things that women do suffer with in having endometriosis. So that is probably the hardest thing, is really the pain, because there's just nothing that really helps, you know, relieve that pain when you're feeling it. It's just trying to relax and, you know, laying down always kind of helps me a little bit. So yeah. The third question is, what is the hardest part of being with someone with a chronic illness?
That's a great question. For me, it's trying to do everything as possible to, you know, care for her and be there for her. But with the chronic illness, like, I really can't do anything about it, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure I can do everything I can just to be there for you and try to relieve some pain. But obviously, you know, it's not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be the person to, you know, trying to fix it. Like, I guess, I don't know how else I can say it, but.
Yeah. I mean, there's just nothing you can really do. So I feel like that's probably hard on, especially if you're a boy. Or, you know, a man, sorry, you're not a boy.
I'm a man.
I feel like it's hard as a man because when you love your wife or your girlfriend, like, the one thing you want to do is protect them and also, like, make them feel good and make them feel happy. And so when they're in pain and you see them hurting, that probably just, like, hurts you. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
how
I mean,
you feel. But
it does. I try to do everything I can.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I said, he's the best about that. So we don't really have, you know, hard time with that at all. But last question is, how do you enjoy going out on date nights if Mackenzie is in pain? Kind of talked about this earlier.
Yeah,
but
I think we covered this, but we really don't have any issues as far as going out.
Yeah.
You know, just to reiterate the previous conversation about it, we always try to make the best of every time we go out. you know, even if you're in, you know, stomach pain to headache.
Mm-hmm.
I think you probably touched up on this about having those things that can kind of clear your mind and not think about the pain.
Yeah.
Helps it a lot.
Yeah, having a distraction really helps. So that's why I like kind of going out sometimes. It is hard, especially, oh my gosh, like I am such a yoga pant, pajama wearing person. Like if I could just wear my pajamas all over the place, I totally would.
She wears them everywhere.
I mean, I just love to be comfy, and especially when you have, I call it like endo belly or IBS belly, like your stomach sticks out so far, and like wearing pants, like, you know, actual adult pants can be really like restricting and feel kind of more uncomfortable. So it's hard to get yourself all like dressed up and feel good and then go out. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to kind of, you know, not suck it up, because that's not really what I want to say, that you have to suck up the pain. But, you know, it feels good if you just like, you know, get out there and do it. And once you're out, you feel so much better, because you're like, I'm not a hermit and I'm not staying inside my house, you know, 24/7.
No, definitely go out and have fun.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah. Well, thanks, James, for being on my podcast today. You were the best.
Thank you for having me. This was amazing. It's actually my first time doing a podcast.
Yeah, it is. And it's actually my first time, like, you know, having obviously a guest on here. But I really plan to have a lot more people come on. I definitely want my parents to come on, which that'll be fun.
Awkward.
Shout out to my parents. But it'd be cool to get like a parent's perspective on everything, and they're you know, they're interesting. And you know what would be even funnier is to have your mom on the podcast, actually.
My mom would love to do this, actually.
She would probably talk our ears off. She's so funny.
It probably lasts 2 hours.
Probably. You guys would probably be like, this is the longest podcast ever. But, you know, I just want to, and I have some friends that I have that also deal with, you know, chronic illnesses as well. So I definitely want to have them on and be able to talk about it. But I would really like it if you guys could, you know, leave a comment, leave a review, and, you know, give whatever stars you're feeling like it. Obviously, don't give a 5-star rating if you don't like it, but that would really help me out a lot. And I cannot wait to record another one next week. You guys all have a great day.
See you guys.
Peace.